The Bible Study on KFUO Radio is underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, centered in the gospel of Jesus Christ in faithfulness, servanthood, responsiveness, and excellence, Concordia Seminary.
What would you like to talk about? Our numbers are 505-7850 and 1-800-730-2727. If you'd like to join us here, it's an open phone Ask the Pastor program, and our guest is Pastor David Boyce Clare. Pastors two churches here in the suburban St. Louis, Faith Lutheran Church in Velda City and Bethesda Lutheran Church, Pine Lawn. We could really say Faith St. Louis, Bethesda St. Louis, couldn't we, Pastor?
Yes, almost. Yeah. I mean, anytime it's 631 zip code, it's always St. Louis.
Yeah, that's St. Louis. So you got two parishes and keeping you busy. And
Oh, yes.
Looks and like you brought the biggest book that I've ever seen there with you.
That's the Lutheran Study Bible.
Oh,
got
that's
extra added
sex
insights.
Rascal, isn't it?
Yes.
So how's everything going with you?
Well, just trying to serve the Lord, and we're keeping on going.
Did you bring your snowshoes to the radio station? Because
yes, I did.
It's supposed to start snowing. Did you?
Yes, I did.
You might have to traipse across the drifts here to get to your car when we're done.
Yeah, we don't know whether it's going to be about 4 inches or 7 inches, or you know, 2 to 4 or 2 to 7 or something like that. So everybody should be ready for winter's drama.
Well, what I'd like to do here is take up this question of this terrible disaster, turn of events in Tucson, Arizona over the weekend. I can't imagine that there are too many people left who haven't heard about this. Here's the AP story today. The latest news, AP reporting a synagogue attended by Arizona Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords is praying she'll recover from Saturday's shooting that left 6 other people dead. Rabbi Samuel Kohan says Giffords was well known at Temple Emmanuel in Tucson, having spoken from its pulpit on a number of occasions. He says Giffords grew up in a mixed faith family but has strongly identified with Judaism in recent years while participating in interfaith events. Rabbi Kohan says the shootings are shocking and horrifying, but have made him and his congregation turn to their faith rather than lose faith. On Saturday evening, the synagogue held a prayer service for Giffords and a memorial for those who died in the shooting. Now, in our previous hour, for those of you just joined us, we're going through 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, which, as I pointed out in that conversation with Pastor Ron Rawl, here in my Pastor John Lukowski imposed English Standard Version Bible, the editors here really have divided this section beginning at verse 17 of chapter 2. There they have inserted an editorial head or line here that says, Paul's longing to see them again, being the Thessalonians.
I have that.
So we kind of picked it up at that particular spot, and Paul describes that feeling in his gut, his heart, to visit the Thessalonian Christians, visit the church that he planted in Thessalonica before he was kind of
run out of town.
Run out of town. Looking for a less
the authorities of Philippi said it's better if you just kind of leave.
Yeah, get out of here.
Well, and then from town to town. After that, there were riots that kind of forced him out in a way.
In verse 18 of 1 Thessalonians 2, Paul says, "Because we wanted to come to you, I Paul again and again," in a kind of parenthetical phrase there, "I Paul," his way of saying, "This is my desire. This is not just simply the group or you know my staff. I wanted very much to come to see you again in Thessalonica. But Satan hindered us." The Pastor Rawl, it was his opinion that the term Satan hindered us ought to be taken more literal than figurative. This isn't just a way of sort of putting a name on some adversities that may have hindered Paul. But no, he believes and advanced the notion that Satan was involved in the hindering of Paul.
Yes, I agree.
So, when something happens as it did in Tucson, Arizona over the weekend, can we say definitively that Satan was at work there, that Satan was on the scene. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that, well, you know, in January of 2011, there's going to be a terrible shooting in Tucson, Arizona, and the devil's going to be behind that. We don't have that in the Word of God. But we had this terrible event yesterday. Are you in a position to declare whether or not Satan was involved in that murder?
Jesus said, you will know them by their fruits. And in this case, it's obviously Satan who is behind it in the form of a deranged individual that, you know, just unleashed this, you know, carnage.
I agree with you. Even though, you know, there are no fingerprints on anything, Satan doesn't leave any fingerprints on anything when something like this happens. I agree with you. If that is true, then what are believing people, Christian people, supposed to do with that? Should we be cowering in fear today because if Satan can participate in or orchestrate a stunt like this in Arizona where so many people have died and so many other people have been injured by this, you know, when you leave here to go out to your car after this broadcast, Satan may be waiting in the parking lot for you. Are you afraid?
No. The Lord says that resist the devil and he will flee from you. You have to be watchful because he prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. But the Lord says that the prince of this world has been judged. As some have put it, that he is now God's puppy tied on a string and God sets a limit to his activities. He's limited in what he can do. He's not omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent like the Lord. He can only be at, well, I mean, I don't know, one place at one time or whatever. And of course, he's got many helpers in the forms of the fallen angels, the demons that are with him. But again, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world.
All right, hold that thought right there. We've got a couple of callers who want to come on to our Ask the Pastor program. If you'd like to join us on this subject or any other, our numbers are 505-7850 and 1-800-730-2727. Hi, Phil. You're on the Bible study.
Good morning.
Good morning.
A passage from yesterday, when John says that the Christ will come and he'll baptize us with the Holy Spirit and fire. My question is, what is this fire, and is there any other passages that will explain the fire?
I think that that he's referring to Pentecost, where that's a manifestation of the Spirit. It has the connotation of judgment. Christ says, I have a baptism to be baptized with. In meaning himself being crucified, and of course the figure is God, our God is a consuming fire, says the writer of the letter to the Hebrews, and so it demonstrates that that God is the one that's at work in baptism, and of course I would say that this refers to holy baptism as the Lord Jesus institutes it, but most especially how the Spirit comes to the church on the day of Pentecost. I guess
okay, so it really has nothing to do then with maybe like a dunamis, a power, or not a power per se, but actually it puts more force on us as a witness and things like this. And or is that connected somehow?
Yes, and of course. Obviously, it speaks about judgment. Fire, it is we're saved as through fire. It's sort of like we're ore that's mined out of the earth. People are, or Christians are, and that God refines us with the tribulations that we undergo as gold through fire. And so it's kind of how God prepares us for eternity. And, of course, the Holy Spirit comes through the means of grace, and he purifies us. His will for us is our sanctification. And things, as someone says, if it doesn't kill us, I've heard this quote before just recently, if it doesn't kill us, it makes us stronger. And that's kind of the idea behind it. And Christ speaks about the baptism that he is going to be baptized with. And it is through fire. And, of course, that has in mind persecution. And maybe the trials, like the tragedy in Tucson, Arizona, is sort of like it could be more figurative and less of a spiritual sense of a baptism through fire. That's okay. How I would understand. Unless Chuck, you have some concept.
Works for me. Okay.
And then just on that, just real quick on the subject about Tucson and things. I did read a passage yesterday that said something about don't worry, because nothing can add to our life by worrying. So it seems to me that God was saying, you know, Christians do have an appointed time to die. We shouldn't hasten it in any way, of course, but we shouldn't worry either.
You're right, exactly. You hit the nail squarely on the head about that. And in fact, worry is a sin. But again, it's like my times are in thy hands. We pray to the Lord, and we do not need to be afraid of the devil, because greater is he that is within us than he that is in the world.
All right, thank you,
Phil.
Great caller.
505-7850 and 1-800-730-2727. Harold, you're next on the Bible study.
Yes, maybe either one of you can answer this. It seemed to me yesterday, Pastor Golding from Village Ladue had prayers, and he, maybe I was wrong, but I understood him to say one of the people who were shot or killed and wounded was a Missouri Senate member. And if either of you don't know, maybe someone there who is attended in the service can call in to inform you.
I do not know.
Yeah, I'm not aware of that, Brother Farhan. It's good to hear your voice. How are you doing?
Oh, we're doing fine. Yes,
good.
Indeed.
Yeah, well, if somebody knows that information, maybe they'll call us.
There was a judge that was killed, and there was, a 9-year-old child that was killed. It was just a real, real horrible tragedy. And we pray for the families of and those that are surviving. Yep, I guess.
All right.
Harold is done with us.
So let's explore this a little bit further here. I think that when something like this happens, when the news of something like this happens, I remember when I became aware that the 9/11 attack was underway, for example, and it just has a kind of an impact on you. You know it's bad. You know it's real bad.
That's probably one of the, you know, 1,000 people were killed in front of our eyes as we watched on television as these towers were falling. Over 3,000 or around 3,000 people were killed.
And immediately we begin to ask ourselves, well, who did this? Why did they do it? Do they have political motivations? Are they just nuts? How could you possibly kill so many innocent people? It's horrific. It's terrible. But we don't ask ourselves if Satan was involved. We don't really think the Satan thought. I don't know. I didn't. Did you? Did you think, I need to drop to my knees now and you know, pray that God restricts any further damage that Satan is apparently trying to do there in Tucson, Arizona? Most of us don't think about the kingdom of darkness. Should we? Should that be one of the first things we think about?
It should be, but I think I agree with you that that really wasn't the first thing on my mind. Obviously, people were thinking about militant Wahhabist Islam, which seeks to kill anyone that isn't a true believer in their concept. So that was the terrorism, the war of war against terrorism is sort of upmost in our mind, but it certainly is. Since it opposes, you can see Satan's handiwork in the fact that Christians are being persecuted in Muslim countries by these Muslim extremists, and in even the authorities in those countries, like in Turkey or Iran or Iraq, they don't lift a finger to try to stop the persecutions. Of course, that's like Phil was talking about the baptism through fire. That has a really big connotation in the world today of how Christians are brought through these tribulations.
Well, the early news seems to indicate that the perpetrator here was just crazy. I got to be careful, you know, how the words we use here.
His favorite books were The Communist Manifesto and I can't, the other one slips my mind, but he wasn't a right-wing extremist, not that that makes any difference. Any type of extremism is sick. But he was also a real difficult student in college. There was an interview with one of his professors, where he very troubled young man.
Maybe he was possessed. There's going to be a lot of discussion in the future. People are going to be pouring through his relationships, through whatever writings he may have left, emails to try to figure out what was he thinking. Maybe he was possessed. Now, is that an irresponsible thing to explore? I mean, there's no way we can prove whether or not he was possessed. Is that just going to reveal me in this highly intellectual age in which we live that, I'm just a dinosaur. I'm still thinking back to Bible explanations for why people behave in deranged and bizarre ways. Does Satan still take possession of people, Pastor Boyce Clare, and move them to behave in this way?
Yeah, and we, theologically, you can speak about two different types of possession. There's physical possession where a demon usually it's a demon that's identified that takes over a person's personality. And like those that are mentioned in specific demon possession that's mentioned in the Bible constantly in the ministry of Christ. And then there is spiritual possession. Before we become Christians, we become Christians through the Lord's work through holy baptism. I became a Christian on December 7th, 1955, when I was baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. But we are in the kingdom of Satan as we come into the world. We're influenced by him. That's what you call spiritual possession. That Satan influences our thoughts, and that all we can do, the book of Genesis, where it says the thoughts and the imaginations of man's heart was evil only continually, and that the source we know is from Satan. Or Jesus even said that those that sin are children of Satan. He even called the Jews that were speaking to him in John 8, or rather in John 10, as children of the devil. And so there is like that spiritual. Definitely, I can say about this man that he was spiritually possessed by Satan. Whether he was physically possessed by him, that's something that, as you said, we don't know.
Well, in the future, I guess, I'm speculating here, there are going to be professionals who are going to be dealing with this man in custody.
Yes.
There will be law enforcement people, law enforcement professionals who will be questioning him, will be trying to establish the facts, because there'll be a prosecution down the road. No doubt there will be psychologists, sociologists, who will want to speak with him and try to discover what psychological or sociological angle may have led to this perpetration. I wonder if there'll be any pastors invited into the process. I wonder if there'll be any theologians, people who believe that it is, as you described, entirely possible that he may have been motivated by the devil himself. Or maybe that's just too medieval, Pastor, to bring theologians into a question like this. Should he be evaluated by theologians?
I would wish he could be, but of course, as I discovered I was a possible candidate for jury duty, and I wonder if that there is kind of a negativity toward persons who professionally have a faith-based profession are not really welcome in our society to make any decisions of a legal nature or to determine what the disposition of a person should be that's like in this case. And so obviously psychologists would be the point people involved in this. And because they'd say, well, this man is mentally ill, or they would determine whether he is, because they could use that as a defense in his case, that he was insane when he unleashed the shooting spree.
So what is the responsible way for a believing person, a Christian person, a person who believes in the God of the Bible, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who has a fairly intact understanding of the doctrine of sin, the doctrine of original sin, and those various things that affect a situation like this? How are we supposed to apply our doctrinal understanding, our beliefs, in evaluating what happened in Tucson, Arizona? Are we supposed to do that? Are we supposed to think it through? Or would you say, no, don't mix those two things? You know, you've got a church life and a doctrinal understanding over here, and then there are things that happen in the world that are unexplained, and you're better off not trying to mix the two. How would you view that?
Christianity is not a religion. It's not something that we can take off put on every Sunday morning if we are church-going people, which is a very small minority nowadays. Sadly, compared with everyone that lives without God, that it's just like somebody thinks that they can just put it on the shelf and then take it out whenever it suits them. Christianity is a way of life. It is the life and salvation that is given us through Jesus Christ by his life, death, and resurrection, and by the power of the Holy Spirit through word and sacrament. And we can never separate the two. It should be part of our life, part of our way of thinking as Christians. That's how we're wired, how the things of this world come to us. And certainly we should be courageous in our desire to witness our faith and see the hand of God and, unfortunately, the hand of Satan as it goes in the world. There's an invisible struggle, as a theologian named Werner Ehlert said, between God and Satan. And of course, that's what the scriptures speak about too. That we are at war with evil, with the devil. That's why we pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Deliver us from evil. Thy kingdom come."
Well, I wonder if, I don't know, I don't want to spring this on you here, but I wonder if you, as a pastor here on Ask the Pastor, could offer a prayer here for those people victimized by the carnage in Arizona yesterday, and commit this into the hands of the Lord, that his will be done in spite of all of the sin that was on display yesterday. Could you lead us in prayer?
I would be honored. Heavenly Father, there is much in the world that brings fear, and there is much darkness in the world. We're thankful that our Lord Jesus Christ, who in whom is life, and the life is the light which cannot be hid, which darkness cannot comprehend, would guide us as we turn to you in prayer. We ask that you would spare the life of Gabriel Giffords and of others that were injured. We pray that you would comfort the families of those who have fallen. We pray also that if it is your will, as it is, through a word and sacrament, that you might grant repentance to the killer, so that that all be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Help us to understand that you are with us, and that you will stand beside us, whatever we might undergo through life. And in this case, grant that those who are in authority will have a proper understanding of the measures that they must take to protect the innocent. And it is our prayer that you would guide those that are involved. In Jesus' name, I pray, and we pray. Amen.
Amen. Our numbers are 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. If you'd like to weigh in on this subject or any other subject here on our Ask the Pastor program with Pastor David Boyce Clare, we'll be right back.
Advent and Christmas are wonderful times at Concordia Seminary. We have decorated the campus with lights and reminders of the reason for the season. Our chapel services help prepare us for Christ's coming at Bethlehem, the last day, and especially now, into our hearts. We invite you to take a drive or walk through the campus and join us for chapel weekdays at 11 o'clock.
Christmas is in the air with words and ways and how many days. There's good news to share and music everywhere. Hi, I'm Phyllis Wallace. Join me with guitarist, vocalist, and songwriter Peter Mayer, whose fans appreciate him both as one of Jimmy Buffett's coral reefers and as the leader of his own band, the Peter Mayer Group. Peter knows how to sing joy, and he says you can too. Next time, Woman to Woman.
Saturday mornings at 9:30 on KFUO Radio.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Martin Haskell is a late-term abortionist whose claim to fame is developing the grisly partial birth abortion procedure. In other words, killing a baby during delivery. He's relocating his killing center from Cincinnati to one of the suburbs, and he's not making any friends, particularly with a group of pediatricians. He moved into an office just 50 feet from their front door. They've been working to protect the health of children for decades and are furious with the abortionist relocation. Dr. Steve Brin spoke for the group when he said, "We will do anything in our power to vocalize our personal disgust with their mission. It's a slap in the face to any physician who treasures saving lives and helping kids. Reading his remarks gives me faith there are more good doctors than bad."
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Former priest detained. I'm Sophia Manos with Religion Roundup. A former Roman Catholic priest made notorious by a documentary on sex abuse has been arrested by Irish authorities on child pornography charges. Police say Oliver O'Grady was arrested in the Dublin area. O'Grady was the subject of the 2006 documentary called Deliver Us from Evil. In Washington, the Warhol Foundation is threatening to withhold funding to the Smithsonian Institution over a video that was removed after a Roman Catholic group complained. The video depicted ants crawling on a crucifix. The Catholic League and others say the video is an insult to Christians. The Justice Department has filed a lawsuit against an Illinois school district for not allowing a Muslim teacher unpaid leave to go on the Hajj, the pilgrimage Muslims make to Mecca. And in the northern Israeli city of Haifa, which has a large Christian population, an industrial designer has made a Christmas tree out of 5,000 plastic bottles. With Religion Roundup, I'm Sophia Manos.
While a number of mainline denominations continue to decline in membership, there is an impulse to seek fellowship with the divine. How many of your friends now say something like, "I'm a spiritual person, but I'm not religious"? On the next Law and Gospel, we will examine the growing quest for experiencing the divine.
Weekdays at 3 p.m. on KFUO Radio.
Is your family ready for Christmas yet? Coming up this weekend from Focus on the Family, we'll examine concerns about cynicism and depression that are common this time of year. Plus, practical tips on gift giving, keeping your decorations simple, and staying safe this winter. All that and more on the next Weekend Magazine.
Saturday mornings at 10 on KFUO Radio.
Back in our Bible study, we're having a little bit of computer trouble here. That's all I'm going to say about that. Gary is in the studio right now working hard on it. Some of what you just heard there was outdated. But when the computer does what it does, then we just have to try to fix it. So Gary's working at it, and hopefully everything will be in order as we make our way through the rest of this hour. Anyway, we're back live here on our Ask the Pastor Bible study. We're talking with Pastor David Boyce Clare. Our numbers here are 505-7850 and 1-800-730-2727. Pastor Boyce Clare is a pastor at Faith Lutheran Church in Velda City and Bethesda Lutheran Church in Pine Lawn, just a little bit to the west of us here.
Or actually to the north.
To the north.
Due north, about 5 miles. Is
all right, let me get oriented
just as the crow flies.
Okay, so I'd go a little bit that way and then head north, right?
And you'd go a little bit that way. You'd go a little east.
I'm all turned around here.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a telephone call and talk with James. Hi, James. You're on the Bible study. Good morning.
Yes, Pastor. Can you give me some insight on the paradox and tension between perception and insight when proclaiming God's view on abortion and gay rights issues? And the reason why I want to know about that perception and that paradox and tension, since the climate in the public square has become toxic and insightful.
Yes.
If we are perceived as giving an okay to violence, are we responsible even if our intent is to proclaim God's word?
We're always, of course, sin is there when we fail to speak up, and of course, our response sometimes is faulty and not what it should be. Now you're saying perception and insight.
Intent.
St. Paul says in Romans 7 that he wants to do what's good, but the power sometimes isn't there because he's at war with himself. There's that sinful nature within us that might make us feel timid and not want to speak out for God in terms of what's right and wrong. But of course, when we are believers in Christ, then we have that inner man or inner person, which has the intent, you might say. And of course, we pray that, just like the apostles did in Acts, after they were kind of intimidated by the religious authorities to no longer preach in Jesus' name, they said that. They came together and they prayed that God would inspire them to speak with great boldness. And the Holy Spirit, of course, came upon them and gave them the gift of speaking with boldness. Is that kind of the sort of struggle that you're undergoing or that you perceive?
Yes, as being a Christian in culture, that is the struggle, since currently the climate in the public square has become very toxic.
Yes,
and
it has.
Insightful. And it's insightful, and the perception sometimes overrules the intent. Even if your intent is to be bold and to spread the proper and correct gospel, someone with a mental illness may be incited to violence. And
oh, yes.
I just wanted to know, are we responsible, even if our intent, because I kind of see that as happening in the political discourse also, but I want to make sure, as a Christian in culture, that in this climate, if we speak of abortion and gay rights issues, if our intent is the proper and correct, in an insightful and toxic public square, will we be inciting someone to violence, and are we responsible for that? And I ain't gonna
so,
to the rest.
Okay, thanks for the call. So if Pastor Boyce Clare goes into the pulpit and preaches Leviticus 18 on the sin of homosexual behavior, and then an angry homosexual goes out and harms somebody,
or on the other hand, a right wing person
goes out and harms a homosexual person.
Well, let me
are
cite-
you responsible before God for that event?
No. Because when I follow His word, and when I boldly speak His word, I boldly witness, and with intent to simply shed God's light on the situation. I cannot be held accountable. But I think what James is kind of saying, well, maybe we might be. Maybe government, let's say if we were to preach against abortion or homosexual rights, they say that's hate speech. They call that hate speech. I think that there might be a limit to that. There might be some people in their zeal who might say, well, we have to go out and kill all the homosexuals, or we have to kill all the abortion doctors. I think that's where you cross the line. That's not in accordance with God's will. God's will is simply to proclaim His word and speak His word faithfully. And if as James has said, there's a toxic environment out there, that's from Satan, and there's going to be that struggle between God and Satan that goes on, and absolutely not. We have to do what the Lord wants us to do, regardless of what society says.
Do you have a sense of the throttle, Pastor? You know, you can push down on the accelerator and really put the pedal to the metal, and then you can back off and just cruise at a kind of a safe speed where you won't be noticed by anybody. Since the free exchange of ideas, as James describes it here, the marketplace of ideas has gotten toxic.
That's a really insightful characterization of the marketplace of ideas.
Well, I think James hit the nail right on the head here, since it seems that discourse among people with widely and strongly differing views seems to be producing violence in some places these days. And, you know, there's just a steady string of stories of people who, for whatever reason, maybe angry with the spouse because of divorce papers or whatever, goes and shoots the spouse and then shoots him or herself. You know, this is becoming commonplace. Maybe you pastors need to back it down a little bit. Maybe you need to throttle back on your proclamation of God's law on questions like this, because it is a bit of an unstable time, Pastor. So can you just go easy for a while?
That's a temptation. I would be sinning if I did that. I think James' question is what, in what case would we be sinning? And in the case of soft peddling God's word, when there is, again, there can be a limit or sort of a crossing the line at times on the part of some who are very activistic, because if you perceive that someone is against you ideologically, then there is the temptation from the devil to kill that person or do away with them or neutralize them in some way. On the other hand, that is also a trick of a temptation of Satan to tell. The word is cow, like if you to frighten or to neutralize the pastor from preaching the word. The devil doesn't want the word of God to get out. He doesn't want people to hear about the law of God.
But couldn't
and he doesn't want to
hear. Couldn't you pick some friendlier words for a while, Pastor? Couldn't you, you know, soft pedal on a couple of things over here until this whole thing blows over?
Well, the Lord says in Revelation, in one of the letters to the churches, you're neither hot nor cold, and you're lukewarm, and I will spew you out of my mouth. You have to show whose side that you're on. Are you on the Lord's side or are you on the devil's side? And that's the challenge.
But people can get hurt. I'm not saying don't preach the whole counsel of God. I'm just saying, you got to be careful, you know. You got to understand where you are and who's listening to you, and you got to think that through, because people get hurt.
There's a temptation to a pastor about that, especially like maybe they may have members in their church that are very influential. It's from Satan. It's kind of the way that the devil wants to try to keep the word from getting out. And I would say that we need to pray with the holy apostles that the Lord would help us to speak His word with great boldness. Paresia is the Greek word, which, as one teacher says, is sort of a synonym of the Holy Spirit, the boldness of faithful proclamation. It's preach the word in season and out of season. That's also the watchword.
Now, as you probably are well aware, Pastor Boyce Clare, we are in an era in our country where people are becoming less religious.
Yes.
But more spiritual.
Okay, if you make that distinction.
You know,
yeah.
There's a spiritual but not religious group.
Right.
Yes. So they don't want to say that they're atheists. They don't want to say that there's nothing metaphysical, there's nothing otherworldly. They don't want to do that. But they've had it with you and, you know, your churches and your worship service. And I don't have any part to do with that. So now, these folks who are contemplating their own spirituality are stroking their chins and they're thinking, wow, this event yesterday in Tucson, Arizona, while it was terrible in many different ways, we have to explore the metaphysical properties of this. Two things have already happened that are quite interesting. And folks who are sort of exploring their spirituality are often really taken by coincidence. Because
yes,
was it just a haphazard coincidence or was there something otherworldly going on? So we find out that the congresswoman who was shot in Arizona is the one who recited the First Amendment last Thursday when the Constitution was read aloud in the United States House of Representatives. Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords, who is Jewish, read the amendment that says, quote, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or of the right of the people to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances, unquote. The Jewish news service JTA says Giffords was raised by a Jewish father and a Christian Scientist mother in both faiths, but in recent years has identified strongly with Judaism. Isn't that a compelling coincidence, Pastor, that back a week ago, before anyone knew that these things would be happening, she was the one who read the First Amendment when the Constitution was read aloud in the House? Then we learned this morning that the 9-year-old girl who was murdered was born on September 11th, 2001. And her father said something like, I can't quote him exactly, that she came in the midst of great conflict and she went out in the midst of conflict. That's another
coincidence.
Compelling coincidence.
I think of myself. I was born on September 11th and I was baptized on December 7th. So,
well, you are a historical kind of a guy.
But it's the coincidences.
Now, some people are going to begin to weave these things in such a way that it somehow informs or advances their own personally well-crafted spirituality.
Yes.
How do you speak to that?
Well, remember, Jesus even had the situation. He asks his listeners, do you think the persons on whom the Tower of Siloam fell were any worse sinners? Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish.
I think that the answer to Jesus' question, although it's not stated there, for those people who heard that question, was yes. I think they believe that those people who had the tower fall on must have been some really bad people. Otherwise, that tower wouldn't have fallen on them.
Exactly. That is an even in Christian circles. That I remember of a family that was in a certain church that were told when their child died of crib death, they were told that they had done some terrible sin that they weren't confessing, or again, that's the type of thing Job was dealing with in the book of Job. Why is Job undergoing all of these calamities? And then his wife says, "Well, curse God.
Well,
he's at fault."
In our first hour of conversation today with Pastor Ron Rall, in discussing 1 Thessalonians 3 and the reality of Satan and his involvement in the everyday affairs of people, and particularly Christians. Pastor Rall recounted a hospital visit where he had visited a lady and she had apparently had some kind of crisis develop in her health, her life. She says to Pastor Rall, "What did I do to deserve this?" And that really is the sort of the defining question whenever there's catastrophe, wherever there's Tucson, Arizona. Then people begin to import their spirituality into that question and wonder, what did these people do to deserve this? And what is the nature of evil that would cause the man who perpetrated this to do these kinds of things? It's kind of like a opening of the spiritual window for a moment into which you, an ordained pastor, can speak.
Yes.
So what do you have to say to us, Pastor?
obviously that when the Lord allows, and it's only by His allowance that these evil things happen, that these are moments when we are, there's always a crisis of faith that's involved. That in a sense, do I continue to follow God, or do I blame Him, or do I go in a different direction? It's always like a temptation to embrace the Lord more closely, or turn away from Him, or and again, it in other words, it's something that can be employed for the Christian to make them a better Christian by the grace of God, through understanding that God is with us through these things, and that even though it seems as if evil is triumphing, that God is still in control. God works all things for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose, Romans 8:28. And so it kind of comes in where you're saying, a lot of times pastors will say to people in the hospital, maybe God puts you on your back so that you can focus your attention looking up and turning to Him in prayer. For the Christian, it's always a time in which there's a time of grace where a Christian can be influenced for the better by the power of God's Holy Spirit through the gospel.
Well, if things go the way they've been going, and from time to time here on our Ask the Pastor program, we look at Gallup studies or Pew Research studies that tell us kind of where the population of the country is headed. Generally speaking, while there's no mass exodus underway, they're headed away from you, Pastor.
Yes,
a man who serves two mainline denominational churches. They're headed away from you. And they will be, some of them will be more emboldened in their departure from you because of these events over the weekend, because they don't understand how the Almighty, holy, and righteous God that you serve, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, could allow for an innocent 9-year-old girl to be shot and killed by what appears to be a maniac in Tucson, Arizona.
Yes.
How do you explain that to the already dubious person who's on the way out your door?
Well, ultimately, it's to proclaim the law. I mean, there that if without Christ, we the future is very bleak in eternal damnation in hell. And in the case of this young lady, especially if we hear about the fact that she was a Christian, she is now with Christ. The thing is, it is the cause of evil in the world is not God's fault. It's the world is broken, the world is fallen, and in a sense, when there is evil in the world, we have only ourselves to blame. A lot of times, with people that are kind of get up on their high horse and say that, when they sort of judge God, they're very arrogant to say that, and they make themselves better than God, that they understand how all the pieces of the puzzle can fit into place. Again, you'll obviously lose them when doing that, but you would try to urge them to see, well, what about your relationship with God? When people ask Christ, are only a few people going to be saved? Jesus says, keep on the straight path. In other words, look to yourself, see what your own life is in the world. And when a lot of times people are just looking for excuses for not becoming Christians or believing, and of course that comes from the devil. We're talking about that sinister enemy of ours, that his handiwork is all around us.
It seems to me that you, as a pastor and a trained theologian, Concordia Seminary, right?
Yes.
You're
a
St. Louis guy. Are really stuck between kind of a rock and a hard place. There are people who are going to condemn your God and you, by extension, because you proclaim this God, but apparently he's either not powerful enough or unwilling to protect innocent people. And then on the
other side, that's the view of someone like Harold Kushner, who says, why bad things happen to good people? God is not powerful enough to save them.
And then there are people on the other side of the coin who are going to mock me particularly, and maybe you, because I dared to suggest that there's some kind of personified evil dude named Satan who was active down in Tucson, Arizona yesterday, and how medieval is that? We'll be criticized from both of those sides.
Yes.
And as you try to respond to the one, you'll be mocked by the other. If you turn around and respond to the second, you'll be mocked by the first. You almost can't win, can you, Pastor? How do you get the truth out when an incident like this happens, a truly evil incident like this happens? How do you get the truth out so that people actually hear it?
That's where you stick closely to the Word. And sometimes you're tempted to do a lot of speculation at times. Maybe you got a good handle on why things are the way they are, but that's where you need to go into the Word, study the Word, and speak His Word faithfully. And as we study the Word, He gives us the answers that we can share with people. Sometimes there isn't an answer.
So how do I go to lunch here after we're all done with the program here? How do I go to lunch? Some people listening to us are going to stop by Subway, pick up a little sandwich there or something, and take my Bible in, sit down. How do I go in and find out an explanation for what happened in Tucson, Arizona, by taking my Bible with me?
You know that certain parts of the Bible, having gone through the Bible many times in this particular the Bible study, how many times you've been through the Bible? About 10,
not very
five
many
or six
people
times.
Have the Chuck advantage of studying the Bible 5 hours a week, just about every week. Not many people have that, and they sit down with their Bible and they don't know where to start. I'm not sure I would know where to start. I've had a lot of Bible study.
Some people just open their Bibles and put their finger down in there and look at the first verse
I've heard
that
about
comes
that.
Up. It's just something that should be done regularly. Start with the Gospels. Read the Psalms. The Psalms help us in our spiritual struggles with evil. Because the Lord helps us, and the Holy Spirit is the one who comes to us through the Word. And when we want to have help, he come and go to church every week and be with other Christian believers and hear the Word, because faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. Receive the holy sacrament of His body and blood. And
I don't mean to interrupt you, but I got less than a minute here.
Yes.
What's your reaction to this statement? If you're a faithful pastor, you will preach about Tucson, Arizona this coming Sunday in your church, because your people are burdened by these questions that we've talked about today, and they need to hear from you, Pastor. You've got them all together when you go into the pulpit. I don't want to make a rule here, strongly suggesting that you do that. What do you think?
I agree. I think that you have to deal with things that trouble your people in events in the world. To give them comfort, the comfort that comes with knowing Jesus and being found in Him, having His righteousness, and that God is in charge in the world.
God be with us all.
Amen.
Pastor David Boyce Clare, our guest here tomorrow, will be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 in our first hour of the Bible study with the Jolly One, the Right Reverend Pastor John Lekomsky. And we hope that you can join us then. Pastor Mark Femmel will be our Ask the Pastor guest in the second hour.
Listen to Chuck Rathard and guest pastors Monday through Friday at this same time on The Bible Study. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for The Bible Study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the web at kfuo.org. Download programs from the Bible Study Archives at kfuo.org. The Bible Study is underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis.